Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Wednesday. That's right. It is Wednesday. It is hump day. It is middle of the week. You did it. Congrats, grads. How you doing, Jax?
You're doing it. We're on our way to things the latter we're doing. Half. Things we're doing. The week.
It.
The days of the week. I wonder if we'll ever mature enough to stop talking. I don't think so. It's germane to the episode. That's part of being a weekly podcast. Daily podcast.
It's part of being human, first of all. And Second of all, I like how you say mature. Like, I think it's probably the most mature thing about us, how we're so self-aware. We're always observing our surroundings, our circumstances. I think it's really indicative of not only, you know, high maturity, but also high intelligence.
Not mature, evolve past, you know, because everything, the jokes change on the show all the time, but kind of like the one constant.
Is the day.
Are the days of the week.
And I guess like Hubermeister isn't on his podcast talking about the days of the week, even though I think in an odd sense he is.
But he also drops weekly. We can't compare ourselves to those slackers.
Yeah, we can't compare ourselves to people who don't work nearly as hard as we do.
To weekly slackers.
Yeah, it's getting slack. Jack
and Rack Attack. Rack Attack.
Yeah. And blame and shame.
And blame and shame. Speaking of my favorite person to blame, who's my favorite person to blame?
Ben.
It's his birthday.
It is his birthday. And then, you know, I feel like we use this platform a lot, really as like a punching bag with our husbands. And honestly, I feel like it's the best thing for our marriage. Honestly, like, I think you and I both have, you know, knock wood, really healthy, strong marriages because we have a platform in which we can just commiserate and vent. I mean, then we don't go home and take it out on our husbands like other women do, like for real.
It's true, I think.
But today, let's make an exception. Today is Ben's birthday, and actually, Ben was supposed to be on a work trip. He was supposed to leave at 5 a.m. this morning, but there's, like, a crazy storm up here in the Northeast. Like, he can't go anywhere. It's been postponed. So, like, I had planned nothing, like, for the actual day. So, yeah. I look like a piece of shit.
No, he must know that.
Yeah, you know, of course. But we made last-minute lunch plans. I've got a last-minute balloon delivery on its way. And on my way to lunch, I got to go buy a gift. Because I was planning on spending the day buying him a gift.
Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? Now,
I don't know. I like was really nice when I was in St. Bart's and I was at Prada like buying myself things and I bought him a Prada wallet, which I should have just held the fuck onto like a big dope. But I got home and he was like, how was your day? And I was just so excited. Like, I was like, I got you a wallet. Then the next day he actually left the wallet in a cab. Thank God we found it. We tracked it down. But yeah, that's just kind of husband I have. Oh my God, I have to stop. Today was supposed to be positive.
No, for sure. I just feel like you shouldn't like buy him some designer duds today. Like, I feel like if we think... You know where you should go for his birthday gift?
Where?
To like William Sonoma or Sir La Table and get him a really cool cooking gadget.
That's a great idea, but then it becomes my problem.
Why? They have beautiful things. You could find something that would be cool for cooking and okay, really just nice
bought,
looking.
Do you know what he bought? We have a KitchenAid mixer that we got. It was on our registry. Like, you know that $500 thing that everybody puts on their registry.
It's a rite of passage.
Ask me how many times we've used it. In our 7-year marriage.
Okay, probably zero.
Zero. It's because still in the plastic.
Once you use it once, you will use it more. But first you have to take it out of the plastic. You have to see like how life-changing it is.
So we've never used it. And Ben decided over the weekend to buy a new attachment for it. A meat grinder. He's like, we can make our own sausage. I'm like, you're never going to make...
Sausage? Are you going to be eating sausage?
Of course not.
That would be the craziest like thing. That would have been. That sounds like an April Fool's prank. Claudia's making and eating sausage.
But I do kind of love the idea of going to like William Sonoma. I'll add it to the list. But wow, we took a real digression there. It's so
like
hard.
Like you
not
could
to
get
just...
him like a gorgeous premium olive oil.
Okay, I feel like I could do better than that.
No. Like a really fancy olive oil. Like he would. That's thoughtful. It helps you. It's
by the way,
nice.
I love it.
Really fancy olive oil.
So, backtracking before I started complaining.
He loves a good knife.
Yes. Backtracking to before I started complaining. I feel like, oh, you know, a lot of the days we come out here and we say good guys this, good guys that, not so good guys, you know? But today I wanted to say this. Ben, I know you'll never hear this because you don't support my podcast and it's another issue in our marriage. But
and because the people who rat on us will never send the nice things that we say.
On the off chance that this, you know, makes its way across your desk, let me say this. I love you. You're a great husband, a great father, really a really great father. I hope this year is filled with joy and happiness and peace. You know, Ben and I were talking last night. It was a tough year for Ben. He lost Theo, which really was, I want to say, much harder on Ben than it was on me. I mean, it was really hard on me, but Ben took it really. You know, Ben's never lost, knock wood, you know. I've been through it. He hasn't. So I hope for this year, happiness, joy, success.
Prosperity.
Prosperity and peace and health. And I love you so much. And you're an amazing husband, even though I joke, really 10 out of 10. Couldn't ask for anyone better, except for Joe Manganiello. But, you know, let's not bring him up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No need to, like, compare Ben to, you know, who's the worst husband?
Honestly, it's Brock from Reba. I can't get over it. He's so awful. Just awful.
I was going to say, like, Scott Peterson, but have you seen there's, like, a movement of people who are believing Scott Peterson now. Like, it's come full circle, and now they're thinking maybe he didn't do it.
Okay. There's also, like, a movement of people who support Osama bin Laden. Like, who gives a fuck, you know?
I'm saying this is really making its way.
The mentally ill are going to stay mentally ill. And as long as us mentally well people remember that and we don't let them get to us, we'll be okay, you guys.
Yeah. So I'm glad that that's not Ben. All set no, to
it's
say.
Not. Well, TBD. It's not. He's the best.
Keep saying nice things, Sturdy.
Yeah. He's the best. And we love him dearly here at The Toast. He's, you know, he's always there for us. He fills in when we need him to. He's great for the content. He's always up for a good joke. And, you know, Ben, I love you. I really do. I love you.
Happy birthday, Ben. Oh, and Spritz is celebrating in a big way.
They are. Biggest sale of the year, 24 hours. The code is BSC32. Stands for Ben Soffer Celebrity is turning 32.
32. So
and that's a big discount. We don't really do that. So BSC32 at SpritzSociety.com. If you want to do anything nice for Ben's offer, you will, like, go to the website, click around, maybe buy something. Like, that means more to, like, Spritz means more to Ben than I do, you know?
And that's not true.
Ty. Honestly, for his birthday, I should just place a mega order on the website. Like,
you should.
Ben is, like, always, like, monitoring Spritz. And, like, when people, some people order
that
for,
would
like,
make his day.
Some people order, like, for bachelorette parties or even for their weddings, and they order, like, bulk amounts. And Ben will go to, like, the highest amount and, like, literally add product to their order and send them a thank you note. Like, he's obsessed. I'll do it. That's my gift.
Whatever you were going to spend at, like, Louis Vuitton or Williams-Sonoma, spend at Spritz.
Love that.
And then, like, send it to, like, a worthy toaster.
Love.
Because I'm sure you don't need more Spritz in your house. If it's anything like my house, we're stocked. More Spritz than water.
So it's a great day. I'll be out with the celebrity all afternoon. I had to clear my schedule because I got to take care of the birthday boy. So that'll be great. We're going to lunch. I do have half of his gift purchased. I mentioned it on the Patreon. I'm going to give it to him today. So should I say it? I don't want any bitches to spoil it.
Let's put trust in the audience. Even though I trust the audience, I just don't trust the rats. But, like, let's give them a chance to not disappoint us.
No, and, like, by the time this episode is up, I'll be giving it to him an hour later.
Yeah, I think we're fine. And he won't be on his phone because he'll be with his darling wife.
The first half of the gift that I got him is, of course, just so happens Ben's birthday week, Olivia Rodrigo is performing at Madison Square Garden, like, four different nights.
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
So I already got those for Saturday night.
Oh, I knew that. I thought it was going to be something I didn't know, which is why I made you say it. But, yeah, we did take a big chance now.
Oh, fuck. Should we cut it out?
No. I'm saying, like, let's see if people have learned.
Yeah.
And then if someone does message him, we'll name, shame, and blame them.
Oh, by the way, if somebody does message, I'm like, I will be sending them. I'm going to find their name and then find their address. And I will, like, get on one of those, like, monthly annoying prank mail things where they send you a glitter bomb, a bag of shit. You know, like, I will do that to you. So just be prepared.
Love it.
And I'm a woman of my word. Like, I will follow up.
Love it. Name, shame, and blame.
So we've got Ben today. We've got Dear Toasters. They're fabulous. We have an update. And we have a couple of really funny ones. We also have stories. Describe them for me in perhaps, let's say, six words.
Wow, six. Okay. They are good. They're not great.
Oh, a conjunction. That's like 6.5 words, but I'll allow it.
I'm within the box. You put me in a box.
You know why I'll allow it?
Why?
Because I love a
conjunction, junction, what's your function?
Thank you. We finish each other's
sandwiches. I want a sandwich.
I would not turn us. Oh, and also we're going out for, like, the celebratory lunch.
Where are you going to lunch?
Well, I don't want to, like, get stabbed. So I'll tell you. Okay, let me tell you. We've eaten there.
Of course.
They have a few locations in Manhattan.
Is it one of our usuals for?
No.
Okay.
I'll just text it to you. I love texting.
I love texting. And this is not people will find out on your Instagram later where you went.
And it's a place where like the food is like really indulgent, especially like, you know, pasta.
Which one? Which one?
The one
they're all,
near.
They're all menus are a little different.
The one near, you know, us.
Okay. That, oh, that's really fancy.
Yeah, I know. And it's raining, so I look like a piece of shit slob with my moon boots.
Oh, they're going to see you in the back.
I know. It's one of those restaurants where it's like, oh, they'll clock you the second you walk in. Gap tooth bitch, to the back.
Ew.
What is yeah, it? No.
Tom and Delvey thing.
It's not VIP. It's not.
I don't like you.
I don't like you. Actually, that's not Anna Delvey. That's Michaela.
That's the maitre d' at the restaurant you're going to.
Michaela's favorite thing to say is, I don't like it. That's when she's like, stop, Claudia. Like, please stop. She goes, I don't like it. I don't like it. And I guess I maybe took it too far one day, just like with my love and devotion. So instead of saying, I don't like it, she literally pointed at me and she was like, and every time I recreated, I put it in the Anna Delvey voice, but she did have a little bit of Anna Delvey to her. She goes, I don't like you. And honestly, the room went still. Silence from everyone. It was chilling because she really took it up a level, not only with the accent, but also I don't like it is different than I don't like you.
You, dead in the eye, finger and in your face.
She also kind of wiggled her finger. I don't like you.
Went around the room. Who's it going to land on?
I don't like you. And now we can't say it. And that's exactly what the maitre d' at this restaurant would do. It'd be like, oh, leggings? I don't like you. I'm wearing leggings. I needed to wear something tucked into my rain boots. Like, I can't. I'm just a victim of circumstance.
That's so you. It's like you feel like that gets you out of, like, victim culture if you blame it on victim of circumstance.
What else am I supposed to wear in the rain? Walking around, working. I'm a working woman. I have bills to pay. I'm not just this lady who can, like, walk around in stilettos with her driver, you know?
Yeah.
And those are the type of people that eat at this restaurant.
Yeah. You should see their mean of transportation when they leave. Like, what are they changing their shoes?
They're not. Like,
or they're wearing, like, Chanel wellies.
No, they might be wearing Chanel wellies, or they're literally wearing stilettos, and they'd walk three steps to their driver.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a working woman. I'm a woman of the people. I'm a woman of the streets.
You are.
But I am wearing Jenny Kane, so, like, yeah. Maybe I can see it at the front.
That brings up the group average.
It does. It does. You look cute today.
Thanks.
Pretty in pink. Are you experiencing, you know, days of rain like we are?
No. Am I? No, I'm not. But I did place a huge order of new clothes, like daily clothes last night. And so until it arrives, like, I'm just like, these are placeholders. You know,
these
I'm like,
days don't count.
I don't need to like try and find like a busing outfit. Like, it's all coming. I just need to get there, you know?
Okay, so I'm at the phase.
I kind of like gave up, but I still got my. I got my slut strand, so that like gives me a couple points.
I'm at the phase where I desperately need to clean out my closet. I can't buy stuff because I'm out of hangers.
Me too. I know you said I can't, but I bought more hangers.
Number one rule: you cannot buy new clothes until you're. If you don't have hangers in your closet, like loose to hang up the new clothes, that means you need to
purge.
Rotate.
However, I have purged like a lot. Just over time. And I'm in a place right now where I have so many clothes because I have so many size clothes. Like, I have all of my old clothes, which
that's fair.
Right. I feel like it's a loophole and I get a pass because I have all my old clothes, which, as you saw, like, I'm still going to wear them one day. I give, like, they're for everyone. They're great clothes. Then I have, like, my clothes that I wear right now that I need, of course. Then I have, like, pregnancy clothes.
Of course. By the way, you're allowed. That I understand. I'm not experiencing a transition like that.
You just never know what you're going to need and when. And, like, I can't be, like, buying new stuff again. Like, whenever.
But where do you put the new clothing?
So I have the hanging space because I do have a big closet. And I could, like, smush. Things aren't totally smushed yet.
Okay.
But I don't want to get to a place of totally smushed. That's not ideal. But I need a array of sizes. Like, I literally have everything from extra small up until extra large. And I need it that way right now.
That's fair. That's fair. I just need to devote some time because I placed a very, very small order from Zara because I needed like two capsule collection item wardrobes. And I feel like Zara is a good place, like, before you spend money on like a big expensive thing, see if you like it from Zara. So I just got like, I needed a pair of nice black like trouser shorts and I needed a nice spring coat. And they're just sitting on the dining room table. Like, that drives me insane.
Mm.
When there's no space for it. And I don't like shoving it into my closet because you shove it and then you don't ever, like, you can't see it. So you're never going to wear this new item that you just bought.
Why do you have those nice spring coats from Theory?
I do. I was like 60 pounds heavier when I bought them. So they're like a little big on me. I still wear them.
They're the kind that could, they're kind of like one size.
I still wear them, but like I want something new, like something a little bit longer, something with a hood.
Out with the old and in with the new.
Goodbye, clouds of gray. Hello, skies of blue.
Okay. I can understand that. I can relate.
And also, we just got, I got so much clothing. Rails is one of the new Toast sponsors, which actually they're sponsoring their first episode is today. We're obsessed with them. I get so much clothing from them and they sent me clothing, which is like a dream. And it's literally sitting on my dining room table. It's pissing me off.
I've pretty much already worn everything that they sent.
So did I.
Ready for the next round.
So am I.
The one outfit that they sent that we both have, I think I've worn it 5 times and I got it like twice. 2 weeks ago.
I wore it twice and I haven't taken any pictures in it yet. So like I'm ready for a third.
Haven't taken any pictures in it yet. Every time I wore it, I was with different people.
Yeah, same.
Like I could wear it again.
Me too. You know what? Maybe I'll wear it to tonight. Ben's birthday dinner with his family.
That would have been a good thing to wear to your fancy lunch.
Yeah.
Also to say, I kind of love lunch better than dinner. Like I love going out to lunch better than going out to dinner. I like lunch menu items better than dinner menu items.
Okay, that's really, really interesting. I don't know if I like dinner more than I like lunch. Are you talking about, also what day of the week is it? You know, hypothetically.
Weekday.
Oh, weekday? No, my weekdays, like, especially with like my new health journey where I'm really trying to figure out, I'm on Weight Watchers, trying to figure out like how to stay healthy and but also full. My weekdays revolve around my dinner. Like when Ben is done working and we make dinner, like it's the highlight of my day.
Well, like the restaurant you're going today too, I would rather go there for lunch than for dinner is what I'm saying. Like I love like lunch fare and I love lunch lighting.
I also feel like people, like I don't know if this is just like a me thing. I always feel like, yeah, I can have like a bigger lunch because like by the end of the day, it like won't even count, you know?
Yeah, but I'm not even going to have a big lunch. I want a light salad, a couple apps, a tuna tartare, maybe like one salad. Like, that's just what I like. You know, I don't eat steak. I don't eat meat. Like,
right.
So the dinner options, what, I'm going to have pasta? Like, it's just heavier. And yeah, there's less for your girl.
I feel that.
And your girl has been left behind.
Yar
girl.
Yar. I don't like it.
I don't like yar girl.
So, having said that, I do feel like we should get into it. We have a lot to do today.
And you have to make it to said lunch.
Right, right. You can't
just keep talking about it.
Totally.
So without further ado, here are the Fast Five Stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five Stories that you need to know, I spoiled it a little bit before, but are brought to you by Rails. So you know we love luxury and Rails makes luxury essentials accessible. They're an LA-based brand that blends their California roots with an elevated European aesthetic and the fabrics feel as good as they look. All right, so how did I discover Rails? I bought one sweater from Rails at Saks a million years
ago. Like for Jay Shetty episode.
No. For our like first trip to Utah and I wore it and then I became familiar with the brand. And then it's just become a brand I always go to whatever website I'm on. Like I'll always go look for it because the stuff is good. It's really good. It's not insanely priced. I feel like it's well priced. It's really well made. And then when I was in LA, I was somewhere else and I was like, I have to go to LA and I had no clothes for LA. And the brand reached out and they're like, we'll help you, Turney. And they totally outfitted me, yes, for Jay Shetty. And it's just slowly turned into one of my favorite brands.
And it's one of our favorite brands to say, Rails.
Rails. You can build your closet with elevated staples like luxe button downs, statement making sets. Oh yeah, my favorite cashmere cable knit set, top and bottom, that I wear literally once a week. Rails. You can get event ready in their dreamy silk, in their dreamy satin dresses, excuse me. Basically, if you're shopping for spring, go to rails.com right now. That's RAILS.com. Shopping from their website directly is the best. And major news, we have a code. And I feel like they don't give out codes to just anyone. So Rails, RAILS.com. Our code for 15% off is TOAST15. That's TOAST15 at rails.com to take 15% off your order with code TOAST15. Today's episode is also brought to you by Hatch, which today came in handy for me so much because my room was pitch black because it's raining. The sun has not been out since Tuesday and it won't be out till Friday. And waking up on those types of days where my room is really dark can be hard, but not when you have the Hatch, which wakes you up in the most civilized, humane way possible. You know, there's no It's very light. They wake you up with light and with sound. And between the mix of the two has changed my life, added to the list of things that Jackie told me about that I didn't listen to. So many things keep us up at night. Our endless to-do list, social media, favorite TV shows. There's a million things that don't want you to sleep, but Hatch does. They're going to help you choose sleep and create bedtime habits that make you feel better at night and energized in the morning. So the Hatch Restore, which is the one that I have, and I believe it's the one that Jackie has too, helps you build sleep habits. So they help you unwind before bed and then wake up in like a really sort of peaceful, dreamy, spa-like way. It'll help you with screen-free bedtime. With the Hatch Plus subscription, you can unlock premium routine building features like Cue to Unwind, which signals when it's time for you to go to bed, and Pillow Talk, which is an audio series, which is just like your favorite bedtime TV shows, except it's without the screens and it does not keep you up. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off their purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping when you go to hatch.co/toast. That's hatch.co, hatch.co/toast to get $20 off plus free shipping. Hatch.co/toast. Hatch is the best wellness thing I've ever done. And I'm not really into wellness. And I have found like this is a very low lift wellness tip that changed my life. Add it to the list.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our first story, Brittany Cartwright describes the breaking point fight with Jax that led to separation. So Brittany Cartwright has revealed the moment she reached her breaking point with Jax that prompted her to separate from him after 5 years of marriage. She was on Watch What Happens Live on Tuesday, and she said, "We just had a horrible fight and it was like a veil was lifted and I noticed everything wrong." They always say a woman can hit her breaking point and it's hard to come back from that. I feel that. She said that the fight served as a catalyst for their separation, involving a night during which she had gone out with Kristen Doty. She said he kind of made up a story in his own head and started a fight over something that never happened. "We fought about everything," she added, calling their marriage a very toxic situation from which she needed to remove herself.
Well, okay, well, that's like, I feel the first time she's really directly sort of explained what happened. And I don't know if, since I heard that they were separated, if I believed it. Even though I had been told by people that I know that like that it's for sure for real, but the way they're acting is just like a little thirsty. But they are out here promoting this new show, like,
and they have a podcast, the bills. And they're like they're trying to make it titillating. Wait.
So I was catching up on Vanderpump Rules last night, and it was the scene where Jax comes, which I kind of loved, by the way. It was giving very much Sheena walking from Brandy Glanville into Sir. So Sandoval was like, "You know, you haven't stopped talking shit about me." And then they cut to a clip from Jax's podcast. I had totally forgotten that the production company for Vanderpump Rules had reached out to us,
yeah,
asking if they could license our episode with Jax, that they needed to reference it in the storyline.
Because he was talking about Sandoval the entire time.
We couldn't have signed the thing faster. We were like, yeah, of course. And my heartbeat, I was like, oh my God, this is it. But it wasn't, and I feel like maybe they just decided not to use it because if there was ever a moment that
Watched it and I had the same thought, but I'm pretty sure I watched it after it aired and I'm like, oh, it must not be here because everyone would have been sending it to us.
So I was 2 weeks behind and I was like, oh wait, no, definitely not, because I don't think everyone would have told us.
I don't think they're using it at all.
That's too bad.
That would have been really a value add for the show. Like for their show.
And that was such a great episode.
The girlies would have loved to see it. It just would have been
It would have
so
been
fun.
Good for the whole community.
Yeah. Missed opportunity. Are you all caught up on VPR?
I didn't watch last night, but I caught up on the first two. And honestly, like, I was bored to tears. Like, I guess the big
Tahoe
reveal. No. That, I was already caught up on that. Oh. The big reveal of, like, Katie fucking Max, like, who gives a fuck? I didn't even know. I know Max because he was, you know, on for one season and then got fired. But I didn't know him and Tom Schwartz were even like that close of friends. Like, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, it was that.
To me, the most interesting thing.
Schwartz and Sheena.
Also don't care. Also, like, Lala, like, and I love her. And I honestly, I find the most interesting part of this whole show is her and Katie's relationship. She like, she said a few years ago, it was 12 years ago. And honestly, I feel like Lala did Sheena dirty in that moment.
I think
honestly.
So too. But I think in that moment, she had a really good friendship with Sheena and a pretty good friendship with Katie that she was trying to maintain.
Salvage.
And it's like, if you want to be a good friend to Katie, yeah, you do go take it to Katie before you go and talk to Sheena about it. But I think if that were to have happened even today, they obviously are in a fight, her and Katie, but I feel like in that moment she didn't know like where her best friendships were going. And she was just trying to like be a good friend, which is the right thing to do, but like Sheena's your closer friend. You need to be more protective of Sheena.
Let me ask you another question. And by the way, we'll talk about Dancing with the Stars because it's so funny. Do you feel like Sheena was actually mad at Brock for bringing up the Max thing, or she was just being like coy?
No, she was mad at Brock. Why being coy? What?
Like, oh, we didn't want to make this a storyline.
Oh,
like,
no, I think she was mad. Like, because I think
but
she also.
Don't you think they would have had a conversation about that, like in private?
I think like, it happened the night before. It's something that they both noticed. I don't think they expected either of them to say, but Brock saw an opportunity to like give Schwartz a talking point because like he's just getting like railed on. And it's like, actually, Katie's not perfect either. I think Sheena did not want it to come up then in that way, so uncontrolled. Like, and if ever, because I think Sheena also at this point like wants Katie and her friendship to, like her. To work. Yeah.
Yeah, I
No, she seemed like seriously mad. Big mad.
But I do, by the way, I think Katie's like justified in wanting to fuck Max. Like I don't think she owes Tom anything. Especially like she said, like last year while we were still being separated, I asked Tom not to fuck anyone in the group and he starts dating Raquel. Like I thought her explanation was totally justified. She's obviously vindictive and like honestly she has every right to be. But there was something else that I found to be so bizarre.
The dog.
By the way, does anybody else like kind of ship Lala and Schwartz?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Me. Okay.
I don't think they would ever work. And I'm pretty sure she said like she would she could eat him for breakfast, which she would and yeah. she could. But like there's something really sweet about their relationship. And crazier things have happened on this show. Like they keep cycling through. Like I wouldn't be the most surprised if that was like the next iteration. And I'm kind of obsessed, even though I maintain that Schwartz and Joe need to get married, have children, and live happily ever after. They're perfect for one another.
Oh, by the way, like, I think Joe is weird and whatever, but, like, I actually felt really bad for her. When Sheena, like, didn't stop with the braids and the hair, like, and the cap, you're a hairdresser. Like, shut up. Like, who cares?
Yeah, and it just comes off, like, really nasty whenever it's everyone against one and they're talking about her in front of her. And I'm sure, like, Joe has done them dirty in over the years. It's just not a good look. Like,
oh,
the snickering Sandoval. And the talking. Like, it's just,
yeah.
Just don't talk about her then if you don't like her.
Tom Sandoval going up to Ariana, like, about the house. And I want to talk about the house, but, like, my butthole was, like, clenched shut. Like, it was one of the most uncomfortable moments of my entire life. And honestly, doing that takes such balls. Like, only a truly crazy narcissist, like, would have no self-awareness and, like, be able to do that. And I loved every minute of it. What is going on with the house? Like,
no, it's insane the way that they're living, like, with the person they hate most in this world. They can't even go to a party together yet. Every single night, they sleep under the same roof, just the two of them.
Yeah.
In last night's episode, like, they got into another crazy heated thing. Like, Tom left. Like, Ariana was just, like,
raging,
eviscerating him. Like, there's nothing he can say. He leaves, and it's like, she's going to leave. And and they're just going to be together, the two of them.
And I feel like a lot of the fandom feels like Lala's commentary about like brand deals and stuff is her being jealous. And maybe there's an element of jealousy from some of the girls because it's like kind of crazy that, you know, Ariana, who really for the most part up until recently, like gave nothing to the show and like wasn't, you know, bleeding out like other people going through stuff, is now like hosting Love Island and getting all these opportunities. Whereas like Lala's been through stuff. I actually can understand the jealousy. I really can.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's coming from a place of jealousy. It's coming from a place of facts. Why? And by the way, she's like, with all the brand deals, Ariana can afford an apartment. Cut to 1 month ago, what did we just report? Ariana bought a house, $1 million house. Like, she, back, whatever this was filmed, she was able to afford a house as well. Like, I'm confused.
Of course. And Sheena said last night, I feel like they're always talking about, like, the brand deals. Like, she's fine. She's, you know, doing well. But Sheena then was saying last night, like, in one of her commentaries, like, the Tom cheating on Ariana was the best thing that ever happened to her. First of all, like, released her from this horrible relationship.
Horrible
relationship, like, so unhappy and miserable.
Yes.
It made her into, like, a national hero, as opposed to them just, like, breaking up and no one caring and, like, having to move on with your life. You get all, like, you're winning. Like, and Lala said that. She was like, you've won. Like, look at him. Look at his life. Like, you're on top.
It's so true. No, and I think that maybe the resentment and the anger that she still holds is, you know, like, she loved this person. Like, I get it. But, like, taking an outside perspective, you're right. Like, Ariana went, or whoever said it, Sheena. Like, Ariana went from being, like, a low-level cast member on a show that was dying. Like, for real, the show, I wasn't even sure if I was going to watch that season. Like, a really, like, a dead show, to not only being on the biggest reality show of all time, but being the biggest person on that show and getting opportunities on Broadway, just buying your own $1 million house, Dancing with the Stars, Love Island, every brand deal you could ever imagine. Like, her anger towards Tom is bringing her down because it's making her, like, kind of a misery.
It is. And everyone's saying it, and it's so true. She needs to, like, release it, not for him, so that he can feel comfortable around
her. No, for her.
Like, it's palpable And it's not a way to live, especially in a new relationship. You have this much anger towards your ex. Like, how can you even enjoy what you have?
And that's, I feel like, what Lala was saying. I think maybe a lot of, like, her anger and just, like, misery stems from her relationship with Katie, who's also holding on to all of this anger. And I have to say, I feel like Tom Schwartz's relationship with Tom Sandoval was a huge factor in Schwartz and Katie's divorce. But to blame entirely Sandoval for that divorce is unfair. Like, it takes two people in a marriage to break it up, not the husband's friend.
Yeah.
And I think Schwartz, the way he disregarded his wife for people like Sandoval is a huge part of it. And I feel like Katie really blames Sandoval for the demise of her marriage. And I don't think that's fair.
No, but I think it's easy to. He's a very hateable person.
Yeah.
And I think that Ariana and Katie are very united in their hatred and just like being haters at the moment.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is like years ago when the Toms, like when they were married to the Toms, they actually like
didn't like each other.
Really like each other. And then they slowly like got on the same page. And then they had to be like the wives of Tom.
For Tom.
So they were always together. And then they saw like their husbands being stupid. So that like united them further. And then they were like, oh, you're doing a restaurant. We'll do something about her. And now it's just funny. Like
they're thick as thieves through like the strangest of circumstances.
Yeah. And wouldn't have ordinarily been the best of friends.
Something about her. Like, I loved Lala being like, we've literally tried these sandwiches a year ago. They obviously had the sandwich tasting just to keep the restaurant a storyline on the show for like publicity. Where is the restaurant? Honestly, they kind of look like clowns for how much they clowned on Tom and Tom. And say what you want, that place is open.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, Jax has a bar that he literally got open in 6 months. Like, and he's always posting on Instagram that he's there. And like, it's a full-fledged facility.
Yeah. And the thing about something about her that they kept saying is like, you know, it's going to be smaller and we're going to be more responsible with everything.
Right.
And where is it?
And I didn't even realize. I only realized when I was watching last night that it's in the opening credits.
Yeah.
And it looks great.
And I'm starting to feel like if there were a reason to hold up a license, you know, like city bureaucracy that were holding it up, like they would tell everyone that. They'd be like, you guys were so excited, but this, that, and this is happening. The fact that there's no communication about what's holding it up, like I think bodes badly.
Very poorly. And I forgot who said it, but Lisa was right. Like they got a lease. They've been paying rent on West Hollywood Boulevard, whatever that street, like one of the most expensive. And yeah, it's small, but it's a storefront, store level. Like it's expensive. You've now been paying rent for over a year without making a dollar. And they sold a little merch actually. So that was something. But like, what in the world is going on?
Yeah. And then the other thing was the thing with the dog, and it also becomes like a bigger storyline in this episode. Like, Ariana like calls him like an attempted dog murderer.
Oh yeah.
And when she said like that they're her children, and that like this person, like when she was talking to Lala, she was like, "Those are my children," and like this person like didn't care if my children died. It's like, if that's how you feel, why'd you leave them alone in a house with a sociopath?
So, well, that's one point. But also when she was saying, I feel like that whole situation where Tom put the dog in Ariana's room and there was food on the nightstand. Well, that's just, first of all, Ariana needs to clean up her room.
I mean, Lala says Ariana, in this episode, like, didn't you get a trash bag sponsorship? Like, throw it away.
I have to say, it seemed like a really, really unfortunate series of events, not a manslaughter. Like, it just was like, honestly, whatever was going on in the house, sometimes you need to put a dog in a room. And this is Ariana's dog, and Ariana's in the master suite. Putting the dog in Ariana's room, I didn't think was like a crazy thing to do. Should he have known to go look around for food? Honestly, no either. This is not a kitchen, it's a room. Like, it was just, it felt like something really unfortunate, not something malicious.
Oh, I agree.
But this is just, I feel like this is Ariana's anger manifesting. And if she just sort of like released it for herself, like she wouldn't. Because honestly, this was, you always want to blame something when something like this happens. Like, I remember when Theo had cancer, we're like, who can we blame?
Yeah.
Who can we blame?
And imagine if the person you hated the most in this world was partially responsible. Like, easy.
Yeah, of course. But like, in reality, that's really not the case.
No. And again, like all of these things that she's like angry about or holding on to, like, and this negativity in her life would just be gone if she would just leave the house until you guys sort it out. Mm-hmm. And the way that they're living with the boxes and...
Oh, and Anne.
And Anne.
So Ariana asked Anne for recommendations for assistance, and Anne wants to be put in the running. And we do know that in real life, Anne does work for Ariana.
Oh, we do?
Oh, yeah. I knew that. Did you not?
No, because in this episode, she's interviewing Anne in the kitchen. Tom Sandoval comes out of the gym. He's standing on the landing, the staircase landing, and he's hearing them and saying how she like wants to work for such an amazing girl boss. And of course, Tom Sandoval, my God,
Anne would want to work for a girl boss.
And then Tom Sandoval is like, then has a conversation with Anne, like saying like, I think we just need a couple days off. Doesn't even fire her or anything. And Ariana goes and tells the group like this, you know, attempted murderer, dog murderer is eavesdropping on my conversations. It's like, well, you live in the same house and you were having a conversation out in the open.
With his employee.
Like, I'm sorry. It's absurd.
No. And oh my God, wait, that's like really crazy.
Yeah.
No, I was surprised in the episodes that I watched, there were two events that she went to that he was at.
Yeah, well, she has to if she wants to stay in the show. And it's not fair for her to be pushed out of the show when she didn't commit the crime act of adultery. So I'm with her like, yeah, oh, fuck, I have to go. And then she gets mad at her friends who invite him and put her in this situation. And I get that on a human level, but on this is your job.
Working.
We're making a show here level. Something's got to give.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how it even could. Because say she releases the anger and she moves out of the house. I still never want to see her speak to this person again.
And you have to work with
her. How do we go forward with the show? Yeah.
Well, also, the more I watch, the more I really believe the rumor about the reunion where Lala and Ariana just have like a knockdown, drag out fight. Because Lala's coming at this from, I think, a similar place as we are. Which is just like a little bit more at a glance, you know, and a little bit more sympathetic to everyone, including Ariana. But Ariana's not the only victim here, you know, like, and everybody makes fun of Sheena. But like, I actually really, the Dancing with the Stars thing I didn't understand, but I did understand like her being sad about her friendship with Sandoval being ruined. But Ariana is right about the fact that Sandoval is definitely using Sheena as like his gateway to filming and events and Tahoe. Because the more people who can tolerate him, they don't even have to love him, but the more people who, Schwartz is tolerating him, Sheena will tolerate him, the more stable he is in his job on the show.
Yeah, James will tolerate him. So she's not right about that. And Lala will tolerate him.
Ariana's right. And because Sheena is sort of like the weakest link. She's so sweet. Like, she's not a mean-spirited person. She's, a little self-centered, but like, she loves hard, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It must be incredibly frustrating, and I just... This is like not normal circumstances. Usually when you exit a relationship, you then just move on with your life. You don't have to then film a reality show together.
But so if Ariana like really wanted zero personal ties, like she would have to leave the show. And why should she? She shouldn't. No, but Sandoval's not leaving. So we need to, now we're in the place in the show where we need a resolution.
I think that's how everyone feels. And they keep like putting them.
It's frustrating.
Like now every episode they're trying to put them in the same room and get there. And like last night it was so bad. Like it was.
Oh, I can't wait.
A barrage.
Love.
It was, oh my God. Like seriously uncomfortable. Like seriously.
I just like wish Ariana had this energy when she was dating Sandoval because somebody desperately needed to put him in his place. He acted worse with Ariana than he does without. Now he's kind of on this apology. Honestly, nothing he's doing is bothering me. Before, he was a monster with Stassi, remember, in that book event? Yeah. He was horrible. And she just kind of sat there and like let him act that way.
No, and I said this a few weeks ago, but I keep thinking about it. A few weeks ago, I accidentally watched an episode from last season and I watched a few minutes before I realized I was watching the wrong episode because it was Katie and Ariana in Something About Her talking about how Lala told Ariana that Sandoval didn't leave the barbecue when he had a ride and he lied about that when she was dealing with her dog and her grandma and he stayed there with Raquel. And Ariana was saying to Katie, like, I don't want to hear these things. She was mad at Lala for even telling her. Like,
No, she was so unreasonable and she was kind of the woat when she was like up Sandoval's ass and like never told him. That's what a good partner does. Like, you tell your partner in private, like, when they're being wrong and encourage them to, like, do whatever. She was just, like, awful and, like, not enabled, but just did nothing. And so now it's like, you know what we've been knowing. And it's, like, frustrating because now we're over it. Yeah. Like.
And now he's been handed his justice.
Beyond. Like, I feel fine.
He's been punished. I don't think a person who's cheated has ever been punished in such a way.
No, but he was punished for like that, but also in my mind for like the years and years of atrocious behavior.
Agreed. Like he was knocked down 1,000 pegs.
Yeah, no, he's like the biggest weenie. I don't even know how like anybody could look at him and honestly not feel sorry for him.
He has his weenie parties.
Oh, wait, I'm so glad you brought that up. That pool party with Billie Lee and her friend and then those two girls from Instagram. Like,
And he's like telling them the story. Is there any way anyone in Los Angeles doesn't know who Tom and Ariana are and what happened between them?
Not even that. Like, not to be so mean, but like the whole, it was giving like, where did you find these freaks? Like, it was just, it was a circus. Like, I didn't even know who these people were. Like, and everyone was just like acting crazy and like taking shots. And I was like, okay, stop. Like, stop.
Stop. Also, he was flirting.
Oh, I was in pain.
It's like, it's really painful. Like, when you think about like his like romantic aspect of his life, it's like he's heartbroken over Raquel, who he loves, and like she is disappeared. And
no, the it's world so crazy, hates this whole him, thing.
And he's trying to flirt in the pool.
And he's saying, like, yeah, I'm murdering my ex-girlfriend in the bedroom upstairs. I crushed potato chips and put them under the door.
Claudia.
Painful.
Seriously painful.
Okay. Well, Jax and Brittany are still... And by the way, I've heard The Valley is very good. I'm not going to watch it.
I watched half of the first episode. I got the gist.
And? I feel like you would like it. It's like people who are in like your stage of life.
I know. I didn't love like any of the characters yet.
Yeah. I mean, besides Jax, Brittany, and Kristen, like I'm really not interested in meeting new people.
No, but it was... I need to go back to it and... remind myself why I didn't finish watching it, because there was a reason. Because I do like, I love like seeing new mamas, like, you know, got baby here, give her, like, I love, like, that's so interesting to me. And there were new cast members who looked like interesting people with like things going on. The just the dialogue was giving cringe, and it was like, we're excited to be on a reality show. And it was giving like old school reality show where we're just like saying stuff because, hey, we're on a reality show and I'm excited.
I know. It's giving like charity in Dallas.
And I'm wanting it to work out.
I feel
they
that,
were talking
yeah.
like that. Yeah, that was really the issue. But they have to find their feet. And I can't, you know, it's hard. Not every show can be Vanderpump Rules. Like,
no.
Are you ready for our next story, which is one of my favorite stories?
Yes.
Unintentional comedian Kelly Ripa is being hysterical today because they aired a rerun of her show today because I guess there wasn't a new episode and no one like double checked what the episode was. And in the episode, it's from June 2023, she is like begging for an invitation to be on Diddy's yacht.
I didn't know what you were gonna say, like if they reran the one after like 9/11. I literally didn't know what you were gonna say.
No. So Kelly and Mark are on vacation this week. They've been re-airing old interviews from Live with Kelly and Mark, but it seems someone wasn't paying attention when they picked out the videotapes, because on Tuesday they aired an episode from June 23
in which she
fawningly begged for an invitation on Sean Diddy Combs's yacht. Meanwhile, his homes were raided last week as part of what appears to be a sex trafficking investigation. Oops.
Wait, I also think it's kind of crazy. Like, by the way, Kelly and Mark, like, take a vacation for sure, that they rerun episodes. It's a topical show. She does, like, kind of what we do at the top of the show, talking about what's going on in the world, news, pop culture, celebrities, like, light stuff. And then there's, like, a guest interview. But it's, like, not the type of show you can re-air. We've never re-aired an episode of The Toast. Like, that's weird.
Especially not from a year and a half ago. Like, maybe air from last week.
Yeah. That's, like, really, like, bad programming. Like, care less.
What else should they do, though, if they are taking the week off? Guest co-hosts?
Well,
that's really hard to program, too. So if you don't have one person who's used to doing it, that would be like if we took off and two people just sat in our chairs.
No, but like if we had, not us, like if she had Ryan come for a week.
Yeah.
And Ryan had different co-hosts, or Michael, if she didn't leave it so bad with Michael Strahan. Like if you had like friends of, and I feel like Jerry O'Connell comes on all the time to like replace Mark, or someone comes on as like when Mark is sick or when Kelly's sick. I think they had one of their kids. Like they have friends of the show who could come in with different co-hosts. Like, I don't know. I feel like they should be trying harder for their audience.
I think this is standard stuff and we never would have even known if it wasn't just for this, which is so unfortunate.
I did not know that they reran topical, you know, shows. I don't feel like they ever reran an episode of Wendy. I feel like with her stories. That's so crazy. That's like so lazy on behalf of cable. Like, do better.
Whoa, not to hit them with the do better.
No, do better. Like, seriously. DB. Jackie, if we took a vacation and our show was owned by ABC, we would literally be like, and we had unlimited resources, we'd be like, let's get Stassi and, you know,
Shannon.
Taylor Strucker, pay them. Like,
yeah.
And that being said, ABC, we are available for purchase. Merger and acquisition, I'm down. If you could, okay, great question. If you could have any media company, whether it be a streamer, a network, whatever, purchase the toast and like be the, like we get to still do the show every day, but then we have access to whatever, you know.
Like probably NBC is the most.
Yeah.
But you know, Disney, ABC, Hulu, I'm down.
Like if we could have our show live on something, like we are exclusive, let's say to YouTube, or we are on the YouTube homepage every day, or we're on the Netflix, where would you want to be? Like any network, streamer, or social media platform? Like if we're the official daily morning show of.
I know people would like think we're going to say Bravo or E, but that's small thinking.
No, and every show on E flops. Like,
no, it's just small potatoes. Like I want to be worldwide, nationwide.
Yeah.
Where is everyone right now?
Honestly, everyone's at Max right now. Max is having a moment. Every streamer has like a different moment.
It would be Max and Easter's.
I would, and by the way, the show would be like the morning Max. Like. Max and Easter's, yeah. I think Max, that's almost what I was going to say. But also, I wouldn't mind being a part of like an Apple or a Roku or Prime, because then they put you on everyone's sticks.
Devices, yeah.
Devices.
No, that's good. Honestly, just I would take any. I would take a Netflix. Ever heard of it?
Of course.
Netflix.
And they are getting into live programming.
Hulu. X does a lot of live, like long form videos now.
I don't
want to
be on X.
You don't want to be there?
No one really watches it. It's just like, I don't know. That's not true. I don't think we wouldn't have an engaged community on X.
I don't think that's true, but I think you want like a piece of that, you know, Hollywood. Glitz and glam.
Hollywood, for sure.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
What about TikTok? Is there set up for that?
No. But we would reach the kids, which would be nice, because they need to be spoken to.
They do. But, like, is it our job?
No, it's not. And I also feel like just part of being a kid is just, like, being radical, you know?
That's true.
Like, you... Like, I always worry about Gen Z. Like, I see these stats. Like, they're so anti-Semitic. Like, they're insane. But... sometimes I just want to chalk it up to them being young and dumb. Like, that's like Woodstock, you know? All those 16-year-olds were taking dumps out in the open and, like, doing Molly and acid. And then a few years later, like, they all got jobs and most of them came back down to her.
Yeah.
So it's, I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like to think, like, these young, crazy, really dumb kids are just radicalized and they'll come back down to earth.
But I feel like, to a degree, yes, like, when you are young, you don't. You think you know everything and you don't. That's a classic trope. But are we getting to a place where it's like more than just the classic trope? Like it's giving.
It's definitely a
Hitler
lot.
Hitler youth. Huh?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it feels more than usual. But I hope, I like your interpretation of things.
Yeah. Just an idea.
Any further thoughts?
I mean, I did, but like, I don't want to get into it.
I feel that. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our next story? Like, exciting news on a number of levels.
Yeah.
Nicole Richie and Joel Maddon's lookalike kids, Harlow and Sparrow, make their red carpet debut at the premiere of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead last night in Los Angeles. So, of course, I had to do a little digging. What is this? They've remade the movie. Nicole Richie is playing Rose. I'm right on top of that Rose.
Oh, wait. So who's playing Christina Applegate?
Who's playing Christina Applegate is Simone Joy Jones.
I don't know who that is. Hold on. What a great movie. That movie like raised us.
And
I'm right on top of that Rose.
The poster for the movie, the tagline. Let me know when you're ready for it.
Yeah.
Respect your elders.
You're lying. Wait, I also want to see what Nicole Richie's kids look like. I feel like she doesn't really show
them. They look like Nicole Richie and her husband.
Really? I mean, I would hope so.
It's crazy when that happens. But it's really cute. They're literally
mini-me's. Oh, man, the girl is gorgeous.
They're mini-me's.
The girl is gorgeous. And the guy is literally like in Simple Plan.
No, like if they ever wanted to make a movie about their life and like their, well, I guess they would be brother and sister playing. Never mind. I take back what I said.
I can't. Oh, and Lionel went to the
premiere. So did premiere. Sophia.
Love. Oh, how did Sophia look?
I don't think she walked the carpet.
Oh. I'm obsessed. I love Nicole Richie's one of my absolute favorite celebrities on the planet.
Yeah. No, I know. And so this is very exciting. Like, we love the movie Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. And I'm so glad they're remaking it for the younger set. But like, if you haven't seen it, I think you should watch the original first.
Yeah, you should. Not to sound like such a grandma. It's Christina Applegate. Who else is in that movie? Who's the mom?
Let me see. Give me a second.
I'm obsessed here. 1991. Sue Ellen. I'm obsessed. Sue Ellen is Christina Applegate's character's name. And who else is in this movie? Nobody I know.
Let me see.
John, yeah, you don't know anyone. Oh, David Duchovny. He's literally in everything. But that's really it.
It's so good. I'm so excited. So I wonder where good. We could watch it.
I think I just, when I was looking at the background, it's BET.
Exciting. Only in theaters April 12th.
Oh, and it's in theaters. But the backdrop said BET.
Yeah, at BET's original films in production. Tyra Banks' production company, Smize Productions, our executive producer.
You're lying that it's called Smize Productions. She's so iconic.
She's so iconic. This is just tens across the board.
Agreed. That's exciting. I loved that movie.
Yeah. Our next story. Lizzo is breaking her silence to clarify that she's only quitting negative energy moving forward. So Lizzo said she quit last week. People were like, she quit. And some people were like, no, I think she's just like a figure of speech that she's like done with this shit. And that's exactly what it was. So she shared a lengthy statement on Instagram and a video saying, I want to make this video because I just need to clarify. When I say I quit, I mean I quit giving any negative energy attention. What I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music, which is connecting with people because I know I'm not alone. In no way, shape, or form am I the only person who is experiencing that negative voice that seems to be louder than the positive. And then if I can just give one person inspiration, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, of course. I believe her that she didn't mean she was quitting music and that she's just like, I quit. I get it. But for somebody who's like quitting negative and toxicity, like she keeps making content about it. Like I seriously, like she needs to take a break. Like she's just in, she was really, really famous for a really long time. And like, as always, like ability is a prison and yada, yada. And then she was accused of some pretty heinous things. So people, we just need a break from you. And she doesn't go away. Like she keeps posting and she's trying to like elicit sympathy, I think. And it's just not working. So just, I feel like it's always good for celebrities to take a break, but she like won't.
Or she's taking a break. I feel like she might be just like scaling back, but not gone. Cause I think it would also be like kind of an admission of guilt to go. And oh, she's maintaining her innocence that these people, like she said in the last statement, are saying things about her. So I think she kind of needs to like stay making content while also like staying positive. And I don't think it's going so well yet, but I think maybe like starting today, it's going to be good.
Okay.
I think I quit threw everyone through a loop. Not me, though.
Not you. Not
me. I knew she was quitting negative energy and haters. I just knew it.
Yeah.
It's like a child. I quit.
I had just seen the news headlines before I saw her statement. So everybody said Lizzo quits music. I'm like, okay, Lizzo's quitting music.
Yeah. No, you got to go to the primary source, Claude. This is what they teach us as a history major. I learned, that's what I've got out of my education.
And that's what we were talking about yesterday, reading comprehension.
And also reading between the lines. Harder, but important.
Because
she did say, I quit.
She did.
But there was more there.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
If it's the fifth and final story, that's brought to you by Armora. You guys know that Jax and I are always on the lookout for ways to strengthen our immunity, improve our fitness and metabolism, elevate our skin. Well, we recently discovered an incredible product, Armora. So Armora is colostrum. Colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life, and it contains all the essential nutrients that we need in order to thrive. And Armora is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, fuel cellular health for a host of research-backed benefits. Armora colostrum strengthens immunity, it ignites your metabolism, it fortifies your gut health, it activates hair growth and skin radiance, and it powers fitness, performance, and recovery. Jax, I know you always got a pack of Armora colostrum in your bag. Tell me about how it's enhanced your life.
I'm an Armora girly. If you want to do like one small thing, you want to get on the wellness train, but you can't do a million things and tinctures, and you want to do like one small but mighty thing, which is where I'm at, SBM, Armora colostrum. First of all, the power of colostrum, if you have ever been a nursing mama, like, you know, it is that first nutrient of life. It has everything. So imagine like getting all that good stuff as a grown person and like just using it for your everyday. It's so great for immunity. Like, it's so great during sick season. It strengthens your hair, nails. Like, it's just overall wellness, and I can't recommend it enough. And it's so easy. I need easy.
We've worked out a special offer for our audience to get 15% off your first order when you go to tryarmora.com/toast or just enter code toast to get 15% off your first order. That's tryarmra.com/toast, code toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Macy's. This spring, there's no such thing as too extra. Dive into the right maximalist trends with Macy's. They've got what to wear anywhere, like show-stopping looks for front row seats at a show. They have the brightest colors and mixed textures that command attention. So centerpiece details like oversized ruffles, sequins, fringe, and so much more. Check out your new fave styles at Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. With spring, you know, being sprung, you and I were just talking about new clothes for spring. So important. Whatever your aesthetic is going to be, like some girls are into the clean aesthetic, which is like more neutrals, you know, very coastal ground. Some people are into just like, you know, more is more. Whatever you're looking for, Macy's really has the top brands like Tommy Hilfiger, Michael Kors. The top brands also top to bottom for, you know, spring looks, whether you need hair accessories, glam, fragrance, clothing. Macy's is the type of store you can walk into or shop online at and get everything you could possibly need from top to bottom, even stuff for your house, you know? Spring has sprung. Let's put out, you know, some new decor, maybe some new throw pillows, perhaps a new chaise lounge. Whatever you need, Macy's has got you covered, and their annual flower show is here. Now till April 7th, Macy's Herald Square flagship store in New York City is going to transform into a garden blossoming with thousands of flowers, with Dior taking over the mezzanine, all new fabulous displays. My mother-in-law loves the Macy's flower show. It's like her favorite thing. She sends me pictures every year. It's really gorgeous. Plus, you can shop exclusive flower show souvenirs and gifts for Mother's Day. Learn more at Macy's.com/flower show. Macy's Herald Square will be closed on Easter Sunday. Thank you, Macy's, for sponsoring today's episode.
Thank you, La Tour de Lou, for letting us know that Macy's sponsored today's episode.
You're welcome.
Our fifth and final story was some news that was quiet that I think they'll be mad that we're
blowing up.
But J Lo quietly rebranded her tour as a greatest hit show amid weak ticket sales. After canceling 7 dates of her first North American tour in 5 years and weak ticket sales, J-Lo has renamed it to apparently broaden its scope, changing it from the This Is Me Now to This Is Me Live, The Greatest Hits.
So I don't know if prior to this she was planning on playing The Greatest Hits or if this was going to be a new album tour.
It's giving it. It was going to be, and now it's not.
Or maybe it was going to be and they didn't put it in the title and they thought people wouldn't know. I can't imagine J-Lo would go on tour and not spend at least half the show playing her greatest hits.
Yeah, I think she would have played a lot of hits. I think she also would have been marketing the new album. I think now there will be more hits and less albums. Still album. We're still going to, This Is Me Now, but like generally majority hits.
Like I really feel this is a very good step. I've been following, you know, the rise and fall of J-Lo over the last couple of months very, very closely. I think it's one of the most interesting things. I just don't know why I find it so intriguing. And I happen to think this is a brilliant next step. And it, you know, gives me hope that whatever direction her career is going to go next is more to this icon level. I don't know why she's still doing the same thing that like Ariana Grande is doing, you know, who has way less experience in her. J-Lo's been around forever. Like she should not be doing the same sort of prototype as like, you know, releasing an album, press tour, arena tour, like the same cycle, like the One Direction cycle. Like, what are you doing? You're not in the same strategy.
Like, get off the ride.
You have to act differently. Get off the roller coaster. Like, you are different. And you're very much, I feel like, in the Celine Dion realm, which is an equally good realm to be in. Now, you don't have to go to Vegas and do, like, a boring residency, but you do have to act different. And so the fact that they're now branding this as Greatest Hits does give me hope that they're seeing her career, whoever's running her, but I feel like it's actually her, but whether it's her management, they're seeing her now as in this different category, not retirement, but icon. That's a better.
Yeah, that works for me. All of a sudden, this concert sounds good. Like we're going to hear the J-Lo hits.
Right. And J-Lo's known for being such a performer. The fact that her performances were not selling well, when I think that's probably her biggest
strength as in talent.
Strength and allure.
Yeah.
Is very concerning. So I would, like, if I wouldn't buy a ticket, but if somebody said, want to see J-Lo, here's a ticket, I'd say, honestly, yeah. I know most of the songs if it's a greatest hits tour, and she's a fabulous performer, the dancing, the singing, everything.
Razzle dazzle.
The hair, the clothes, like, she knows how to perform.
Yeah, this is sort of like an issue with, like, touring albums. It's like, I want to hear, like, general things. Like, what if it's not my favorite album and I didn't get to see you on the last album tour, but I'm seeing, that's why the Eras tour is really great. It's like, it doesn't matter what you missed.
Like it's also very, very artist dependent. Because like I think of, because the next concert I'm going to see is Morgan Wallen. And I didn't go last time, but he did a big, big, like I had my chance. He did a big ass tour for his last album, and his last album was enormously popular. This time, after doing like the most with the previous album, he's now doing the most again with the new album. And you know what? I feel like that's fair, but it just depends on the artist. Like if your most recent album was a flop, but you have like tons and tons of hits, like do both.
For sure. But I just think of like Luke Combs. Like I absolutely need to hear this album live. And if I don't make it on this tour, like I will have missed my chance. And yeah, the next tour, like he'll play some of this, but I need this album.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess I'm going to Jacksonville.
Jackson Turdy in Jacksonville. I'm down.
Jackson Turdyville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, like that's, I guess, what I need to do because his tour just, he said he's like, he really didn't consider me, honestly. And it's fucking rude.
But by the way, back to what you were saying, it's completely artist dependent and album dependent.
Yeah. But you felt that way about Tailored Before Eras. Like you didn't get to see the Red Tour and like how badly you wanted to see the Red Tour. It's, I know. No, it's just a necessary evil. Like, it just is what it is.
But maybe Eras Tour is, like, really shaking up the industry. Like, people are seeing, like, oh, you know? Like, maybe I can do this. Like,
yeah. But I also think maybe some people don't want to work that hard. It's a lot of work what she's doing.
By the way.
Do you think they even remember all the lyrics to all their old songs? That's, like.
Some artists talk about how they don't. Joe Jonas talks very openly that even recent songs, like, he cannot remember the lyrics. And I know Miley a lot of times has a teleprompter.
You actually, you know lyrics and memorize them really well, but I could see you being the sort of person, like if you were a pop star, like, yes. No, I wrote my song, but I don't remember the lyrics, okay? Sue me.
Okay, when I was in St. Bart's, we got back to the house and like we were drunk and we were like making snacks and somebody put on music and 100% came on and like I literally didn't know the words to the second verse, but I was also really drunk.
I feel like that's a part of the Eras Tour. Like the whole thing is so impressive, but that's like on the list of impressive things that I don't think she gets enough credit for. And her lyrics are so intricate.
And Aaron Shirkit.
It's not just like,
especially,
I'm going down, I'm yelling timber.
Don't disgrace that song, it's amazing.
It's the best song ever.
Also, by the way, it's even more impressive when you think about the fact that she'll literally go on the acoustic set and play a song from 17 years ago. That's the most deep cut that she's probably never even played live. She probably released it and never played it again. Cold as you.
I think she has such a good memory, and that's probably why she has a hard time letting things go, because like they're so seared into her memory.
You know what? What the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, like she remembers it like it was yesterday because her memory is so strong. That reminds me of Dana.
Yeah. And I also think she's a person of high intellect. And I think memory has like is a part of that. Yeah. You know, even though they say people with bad memories are high intellect, but maybe that was just like
something they told you guys.
Me searching for a headline that related to me.
Yeah. No, it's giving Dana. Dana would be a great pop star because she'd remember all of her lyrics.
But she'd also be a bad pop star for 45,000 other reasons.
1,000 million reasons.
Mostly that she can't sing.
She can't sing. She dances like like she's playing charades. Like,
yeah, oh, that's
we
funny.
Bought a house. Like, you know.
I'm yelling timber.
Yay.
You better move.
You better
dance. That's so funny. That's funny.
Yeah. And she would admit it. Like, it's a point of pride for her.
Yeah. Well, what's so fabulous is that the stories were great. Really, Jackie? 10 out of 10. I enjoyed them
so much.
Thank
you. But I really think we made the most out of them. It was us doing what we do best.
And what we do best is really help people. I think that's fair to say. And Wednesdays are an extremely helpful day here at The Toast because this is Dear Toast Thursday. Shut up. Today.
It's only okay when you do it.
Yeah. Today's Dear Toasters Day, our weekly advice segment where you girlies will write in and we'll do our absolute best to help you. We got 3 submissions every week. You can submit deartoasters@gmail.com, write us an email, or if you want to be super, super anonymous, head to thetoastpodcast.com. Scroll down, there's a little submission box, no name required, nothing. Today we have an update and 2 submissions. The first update is from the girl who wrote in about taking her husband's last name when her husband's last name was Duty. And we understood, you know, and by the way, we had gotten a lot of feedback from that episode because we had said to each other, we gave her advice, but then we were also like, what kind of last name is that? Like, I've never heard that. And a lot of people wrote in, like, it's really a popular name in the South. Like, it's a thing. We didn't know about it, but we had encouraged her to speak her mind, maybe do some sort of hyphen, some, you know, new name, like Ellis Island energy.
Like Kaylin and Dean. Ellis Island.
Wait, what did you
Kaylin
say?
And Dean.
Oh, Kaylin and
Kaylin Miller yes. Keys married Dean Unglert, and they both changed their last names to Bell, which is Kaylin's mother's maiden name, because that's what they related also, to most and wanted to.
I thought you said Kayla, and you just reminded me. We had spoken at length on April Fool's. Like, we were so curious if anyone was going to, you know, make the April Fool's joke, I'm pregnant, because it's something people do every year and they always get canceled for it and people never learn. This year was no different. Thank you to everyone who sent me on TikTok. You know Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend, Kayla Nicole, who's like an influencer and she's like always in the news for like shading Taylor? She's pregnant.
I love that she was the one. I couldn't have picked a better person.
I agree.
I love that for her. Like, I think it's so great. And
Godspeed.
Seriously. Like, and yeah. Just.
Okay. Our first year toasters is from that girl. She's obviously not a toaster. No. Duty update. I was the girl who's getting married to the PJOM whose last name is Duty. I honestly wanted to create a completely new name, a combination of both. Alas, everyone in my fiance's family wears the Duty moniker with such pride that they were actually a bit hurt when they found out my true feelings. After realizing how much it meant, I have conceded to using the name personally. So Christmas cards, meeting new people socially, but professionally and legal purposes, I am keeping my own name, XOXO, Mrs. Duty.
I just want to say,
that's big of you.
I went through a emotional roller coaster reading this. Like, of course, at first we have to circumvent Duty, but then you say like this family is a proud family, and like to go, and then you like took your like second grade humor to them, being like, it's Duty. Like, I feel embarrassed, and like, of course you should be a proud Duty. And I also feel like nothing, like if you own something. Like, there's nothing cooler than that. Like, if you just, like...
That's true.
If you are so confident and, like... I could forget the meaning of the word. So, by the end of this, I was, like, I could see... I could be rooting for Mrs. Duty. I like, in general, like, you have your family name and then you have your professional name. So, that works for me.
Yeah.
But I do think... I don't remember what our advice was then, but my advice now would be to kind of reframe it in your head and, like, to find the joy in the Duty.
I just want to say, I do feel like the family could have been a little bit more understanding. Like, it is a piece of poop. Like, you're not being a child. Like, words have meaning. And so for them to just be straight up offended and not being like, yeah, no, when I married in, I also felt like if somebody could commiserate a little bit, that be real
to the family, but also her, like, be mature.
Yes. No. I actually think this is a very, very mature way for you to move forward. Honestly, I don't know if I could ever be that mature, because like, Duty is Duty. And also, I'm a Duty person. We talk about all the time.
The thing is,
not everybody uses the word Duty to describe poop. A lot of families have their own words. Like, Duty is our family's word. Like, I have to make a Duty. There was Duty on the floor. Romeo made a Duty. Like, Duty is our word of choice. It means a lot to us.
But for other people, it's like, oh yeah, that is a meaning of that, you know, hopefully that's what it is for you. But I just... The best advice you could give, own it. Just own it.
Yeah.
Wear it with pride.
Okay, our next one is so crazy. Hello. My husband and I just got married this past September. I was talking to him randomly this week about how we should look at cemetery plots together, and he said that he already has one that his mom got for him when he was 15. Mind you, it's in his hometown, which is the town we went to college in and where we met. We do not live there anymore, and I would really rather not be buried there. I said, well, if I die first, I can be cremated and just placed in your plot, and he went on to say how he doesn't believe in cremation. I said, well, we just have to be buried next to each other then. Please help a girl figure out on how to get on the same page with my husband about where and how we're buried.
Okay. I don't know what like the textbook like healthy and right time to talk about this is. I've not even thought about it. And the times that I have thought about it, like, it is confounding.
Sad.
Yeah, it's confounding, because it's like one of the husband or wife like isn't going to be buried with their parents, because you'll be buried with your in-laws. And then your kids might not be with you because they're with their... I don't like it. I don't know what the answer is.
I don't like it either. It's wrong. Like, but I find peace in my religion, which is really puts very little emphasis on the physical body.
Agreed.
They really say, and I remember at a funeral hearing this from the rabbi, and it actually weirdly brought me great comfort that like, this is a shell. The person is not there. They Jewish afterlife spends a lot of emphasis on your neshama, which is your soul. And your soul is with you. Like, so I really try to hang on to that, because if you think a lot about, you're right, maybe my kids won't be with me, and maybe I won't be with my family, maybe I'll be with Ben's, or Ben won't be with his. Like, it's bullshit. So I try not to think about it, and I try to really lean on my faith, honestly. Yeah,
no, and I think it like sounds weird and feels weird like to the living, but then like to the dead, it's irrelevant. And think about how often we like never even visit.
I know. We've literally visited our dad twice.
And it's only like when we're in the neighborhood.
Which is never.
So yeah, it helps to not be attached to that as an idea, but it's really weird. And I don't know, like, what is Emily Post's, like, etiquette for when you talk about it? And what do most people do? Like, is there, we always go with the mom's family or the dad's? Like,
I don't know why. I happen to think you always go with the wife.
But I also think it has to do, well, yes, people buy their plots in advance, but it kind of has to do with, like, where you die.
Where you live. And where you live, yeah.
But, like, you might retire somewhere different from where you were spending your whole life.
Right. That's why like a lot of our grandparents who are from New York are buried in Florida because that's where everyone goes to retire. Yeah.
So I have no advice for you. And it's something I've put off thinking about. I don't even like, it's not like I actively put it off. I don't even worry about it.
I want to say like, I don't care. I have to imagine that like, God forbid, you know, in a million years when I die, the people around me who know and love me will advocate for the best place for me to go, given, you know, where others are. Wait, stop. I'm literally going to cry. Are we not going to be buried together?
That's what I'm saying.
Because, like, you're going to be with your
family.
That's
why we should, like, what we should do. This, like, we should
buy a family plot.
Yeah, like, right now and, like, kind of get it taken care of.
Get it over with. Also, like, who knows what our financial circumstances are going to be in the future? Like, when you feel, I guess that's why people have the conversations. Like, if you have the money at this point, buy it now so you save your family the trouble later.
It just feels like a lot of sturm and drang and, like, drama and turmoil.
For a dead body.
For something that's, like, not... hopefully, God willing, like just not important right now.
And that's why I really
some could argue important ever.
Right. When I go to a cemetery and I see the people with the huge mausoleums that you could literally walk into, it's like, to me, that's a waste of money. Like, and I guess maybe it's faith-based.
I was going to say, different maybe religions faiths, like have a different idea of it. So I'm not going to yuck anyone's yums. But I like that ours like de-emphasizes it because it's giving willy-nilly.
And also, I like that you don't have to go visit to feel connected to that person because in Judaism, that person's always with you.
Yeah. But like, thanks for bringing this up.
Yeah, we have no advice. Sound off in the comments if anybody has
this
any helpful tips.
This is kind of like
tips.
A miserable conversation. And it like makes me sad that like this is the conversations you're having with your new husband. Like,
right. Less than a
like,
year.
Stop having these conversations. My tip is to like seriously drop it.
I agree.
Let the chips fall where they may.
And just if being cremated is like really, really important to you, like make a will.
Important to him, I thought.
No, he doesn't believe it.
Just drop it, seriously.
No, but also like if you die first and you want to be cremated and your husband doesn't believe in it and he won't do it, if you have a will, he legally has to. So put it in your will.
And then.
And you know, every woman should have a will.
Every person.
Every woman.
Stop talking about this, seriously. It's harmful to your relationship.
Okay, our third and final is very topical, and it's, like, really unfortunate. It's an April Fool's joke gone really wrong. My sister and I are longtime toasters. We love you, swirlies. We decided to pull an April Fool's joke on my boyfriend, and it completely backfired. We've been dating for 6 months. We're in a happy relationship. We talk about the future and getting married, and I'm really certain that he's my person. He was at the gym, and we had told him that we were next door at Whole Foods grocery shopping. As we pulled in, I saw his car, and we thought it would be funny, given it being April Fool's Day, to pull a little joke. We wrote and left him a note on his windshield saying, "Hey, I think you're really cute. I see you at the gym all the time. Text me." And we gave a fake text number from the Text Plus app. He did it. He said, "Hey, I believe you left the note on my car. Very confident. Much respect." I was shocked, and I called him about an hour later after seeing him respond to the app. I didn't respond in the app, and I kept the conversation going because the point of the joke wasn't supposed to be to try to catch him. When confronting him about the text response, he got defensive, saying he didn't think what he said was wrong and got pissed off because he thought we were setting him up for a test. Thoughts? Do I have a right to be upset? Does he have a right to be upset? You sound seriously like a battered woman. You absolutely have to break up with this man. He didn't even know what the person looked like, and he sent them a text. Like, it could have been a man. Like...
No, that's seriously,
I want to say,
like, but it's also like insane. You, and the that fact you that you're, that.
Oh, for sure. But wait, the fact that you're writing in being like, does he have a right to be upset? Are you okay? Break up with him. He will cheat on you. But, he probably has.
But like,
bad prank. But you know what? Bad prank. God's looking out for you. Like, You might not have never noticed because you seem to be under his spell.
Yeah, but some...
This man's a horrible boyfriend.
Yeah.
Break up with him! Now! Now! This last thought, do I have a right to be upset? Does he have a right to be upset? Are you okay? Like, I'm really worried about you. To answer your question, does he have a right to be upset? No. Do you have a right to be upset? Yeah. You should break up with him. My goodness.
This is such a weird story. Like, I seriously, like, I'm uncomfortable. And it, I just, like, and of course, like, he obviously failed the test. And it's actually a good lesson. Like, if you ever need to test your man to see if he's loyal, if you feel like he goes to the gym and, like, creeps on girls, like, do this.
But this girl wasn't even coming from
place. Which it's, like, and it is good to know, like, if he is a scoundrel, like, it's good that you know now. But seriously, like, what are you doing? It's entrapment. Like, what did you...
No, it's a crazy prank.
Crazy thing to do, especially to your boyfriend of like 6 months who still might be in this phase of like seeing what else is like of keeping an eye open. Like I'm not committed.
No. Yeah.
I think that like if they're 6 months isn't like the most serious relationship, your newly boyfriend girlfriend.
Yeah. But if you can't even stay monogamous at 6 months, like if he's still keeping his options open, then he's not serious about you.
Yeah. You and guys aren't you say you're serious.
You wrote in the email. We're talking about the future. We talk about getting married. We are serious. That's what she wrote.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No, like if that run 6 months for the fucking dating, hills.
Like Zach did this happen and Zach like, yeah, I would have totally broken up with him. But at 6 months of dating, we were very serious.
That's what she said too. Get rid of him. And I want an update. Seriously. Do not run away from me. That's our show. Again, if you want to write in, that's deartoasters@gmail.com or head to thetoastpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening to The Toast Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast and where podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast, leave a five-star review of how beautiful, sounding, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Love ya.
Love ya. Bye.